Ryan Binkley is from Texas, Dallas, Texas. He's a Republican presidential candidate. He's got a business background. He's a pastor, family, Dallas, Texas. On the younger side, I'm not going to bring up our current president. But he's running here in New Hampshire, respecting our primary, unlike Joe Biden, the Democrat, who's not running here. It's, by the way, just some quick side commentary. I thought it was interesting now that the Democrats here, some of the state leaders, are all excited to start this write-in campaign, the write-in campaign for Joe Biden. When the president wants to take away our primary, they're excited to do the write-in campaign for Joe Biden. And it's interesting because Congressman Dean Phillips from Minnesota is campaigning as we speak in New Hampshire, running for president. Someone who else is Ryan Binkley. He's in our studios. Thanks for being in our studios. Thanks for being here.
Well, great, Jack. It's great to be with you as well. Great to be here in New Hampshire, and it's a great day today.
Well, you know, I read about your background. Now, I think it's a great story to bring to a national discussion because you have the business background. You understand what's, I think, happening and some of the cultural tug-of-war that we're feeling, that I'm sensing. Let's start with our younger folks, because that's the future, right? Right?
Absolutely.
Our younger folks. You must see this. You're in a growing area. Dallas is booming, last time I heard. College campuses. I'm the least surprised person in the room when I see this anti-Semitic, not supporting Israel behavior. Because to me, I'm going to ask you this, Ryan Binkley, presidential candidate, Republican. You can tell us the website in a moment. To me, for a long time on college campuses, before Israel was being threatened, our only ally in the Middle East, there's been an anti-American sentiment brewing and being taught on these campuses, some of the loftiest campuses like Ivy League, Columbia, UPenn, Harvard. Am I right or wrong on that?
You're absolutely right. And it wouldn't matter what it is. You're right. It could have been an American issue. It could be any issue. If it doesn't fit the narrative of a far left social agenda, then they are going to protest about it. And this is what we need to do. You know, my wife and I did young adult ministry for 17 years before we started our church 10 years ago. So we've always been in the lives of young people. I've got five kids, 13 to 23. So my kids have friends.
That's zone defense.
And so we're engaged with this young generation. You know, this is what happens to the Republican Party. We lose this generation. So we lost 70% of the college vote in the last election. We lost 46 of the top 50 cities by population. So a lot of younger people live in bigger cities as well. So we're not connecting to them. And they get indoctrinated in their first 6 months in college to a socialism agenda. So what we have to do is recognize this and start speaking to them the truth. You know, I think it's the right opportunity for us. Everywhere I go, I've done several college town hall events. We're talking to them about our debt, about the agendas, about what's the truth out there in America regarding world affairs, to our economy, to debt. And you know what? Most of them don't know. You're so right, as you early said. They don't know the truth. They don't know the history of Israel. They don't know the history of Palestine. They don't know.
They don't even know what happened in World War II.
Exactly.
They don't even know. If you mention Normandy to them, they'd look at you like, is that a red wine?
Exactly. So we have to start there. But we have to be authentic. You know, right now when we have leaders that are always divisive, always cascading the far left as a demon or the enemy, we'll never win their hearts. We have to be true to them. We got to tell them the truth. We actually have to show that we care. And when we do that, we'll start connecting to young people. Every time I do this, we start talking to people and we're not yelling at them. Then we can start, they'll start reasoning with us, and then we can persuade them and show them the truth. And when we do that, we'll win.
Ryan Binkley, I want to ask you this question before I come back to you a little bit, why you're running for president. Where, before we even talk about how to educate and talk with younger people about real history, real economics, real world stuff, where did this anti-American socialist agenda, because I think it started 10, 20 years ago at least. Why and how did that, because, you know, one of the alumni at Columbia that's taken away his money, his last name is Cooperman, had a great line about the kids today. They have blank for brains. But I would say some of the professors have blank for brains. Where did this, from a professor point of view, this pro-socialist, far left, America stinks, we're the problem, where did that come from? Because last time I checked, some of these college professors have a pretty good life here.
Well, it's been decades, as you mentioned, and likely even in the 60s it started, maybe even before then. So this is a movement that's been going on, a Marxism, socialism movement. It's been going on for decades. And this is really the voice my heart came to me, that America was actually created, I believe, by God to be this nation where we protect liberty and protect freedom. I mean, we're the only nation that has a constitution that says, listen, we are going to protect freedom of speech, freedom of press.
I know.
The freedom to protest. And now what are we doing? We are actually protesting against our own freedoms of truth and honesty, because if
we can't even agree that freedom's a good thing.
Right. If we don't agree unilaterally with you, then they want to protest against that. So we got to speak truth, speak it in love, though, and actually share with the generation how to really navigate through this time.
Well, you mentioned faith. This is one I can't understand either. And I talk about it on this show quite a bit, and we have some extra time with you. We're going to come back to, again, your candidacy and all that. But I love talking about our current life. We still have our currency, in God we trust. It amazes me. Why is faith even something that people are afraid to talk about? I personally don't know how people get up in the morning if they don't believe in something greater than themselves, have humility, give thanks, count their blessings, and try and do some good. It's just weird. I'm just weird that way. I'm old school. I don't understand. We don't take our houses and our bank accounts with us. Why? I mean, in Durham, New Hampshire, you may not know this, sir, but in Durham, New Hampshire, home of our University of New Hampshire flagship, our kids went there, beautiful campus, University of New Hampshire. A couple people in town objected to the annual lighting of the Christmas tree. So they quickly had a meeting, and they changed it to a holiday tree because a couple people felt uncomfortable with Christmas. What on earth is uncomfortable about Christmas? I don't get it sometimes. And if you have another thing that you want to celebrate, fine. Respect that. But it was a Christmas tree. It will be a Christmas tree. Even faith. Now, I love it when I'll see like an athlete or like Mark Wahlberg gets up in the morning, thanks God. He's very trying to help younger people connect with the Catholic Church. I understand the flaws of the Catholic Church. I became a Catholic. I guess my point is, why are we afraid in this country to even talk about faith, Christian values? And why is that even polarized or politicized?
You know, it's not polarized when we actually have a moment in our nation where we need to look up to God. You know, I thought about this a lot. You know, it's probably been since 9/11 that we all saw a tragedy happen in our own nation that was beyond our control. Mm-hmm. And everyone thought to look up. If you remember, 22 years ago, churches were full. Mm-hmm. Not for long. But when COVID hit...
I saw more American flags after 9/11,
right,
too.
But when COVID hit, we didn't have any leadership say, hey, we need to look up again. In fact, we've lost this moment.
Yeah, we can go to Walmart, but you can't go to church.
You know,
you can go to the box right. store. You can go to the box store, but we're not sure about church.
So what is it going to take for us to look up again? In fact, in Scripture, God oftentimes allows us to go through a battle, a war, a plague, famine, even until we do look up. And so, you know, I think it's time for us to do that again. We're seeing so much happen in our
economy. But how do you get a young person to believe?
You know, I think everyone's got to have their own moment. At the end of the day, we come to an end to ourselves. We find out, regardless of success, regardless of fame, regardless of even a nation, you know, that has images and has agendas and has ideology, that it's all void and absent without true faith in God. But usually it takes a moment. It's a personal moment.
We have to go to break. I want to ask you one question. A week ago today, in that seat, was Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And in the seat that Josh McKelvin, my good friend of mine, a backup host on the show, former political director of WMUR-TV, was Governor Chris Sununu. I asked a question to Governor DeSantis. I'm going to ask you the question. And at an event later in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, a friend of mine was there. He brought up the question because he said, no one's asked me that. I'm going to ask you the same question. You're probably, correct me if I'm wrong, about the same age and stage in life as the governor of Florida. Am I correct?
I'm 55. He's probably 10 years younger than me.
Okay, but you're on the younger side compared to our president, Donald Trump.
I'm much younger at heart, yes.
But you know,
absolutely.
You seem to be, you get five kids at home, he has a young son. So you don't have to be running for president. It's a daunting task. The national media will tell you in the end it's Biden and Trump, whether you like it or not. And I asked the Florida governor, just got reelected to a big state. He's not even 45. He knew Trump was going to run again. He's the incumbent president. He leads in all the polls, including Iowa, New Hampshire. Name recognition in the news every day. You can't turn on some of these networks, including CNN, without Trump, 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 Trump. And Governor DeSantis could have waited to 2028, 2032. Why expend the capital now? Trump's going to be tough to beat. Why are you running for president now, Governor DeSantis? And I'm going to ask you, Ryan Binkley, same question. Why are you running for president of the United States when a lot of people don't know who you are? Why are you going through this? Why are you running now?
8 years ago, Jack, I'm running a business. We have about 400 employees. I'm pastoring, lead pastor of a church. I've got five kids, as you mentioned. But 8 years ago, in a dream, message from my heart came from God that our nation's in trouble and something's coming that we're not ready for. And he really gave me these words, and it came subsequently year after year, that America's in desperate need of a spiritual revival and an economic revival, that something was coming that we are not connected to nor prepared for. And the reason I'm running this race is so we can call our nation back to that. You know, I have an economics background. I see things financially that no president, President Trump, no other candidate's really speaking to the tipping point of debt that's going to cause the next generation, I think, to have a financial collapse if we don't fix in the next few years. So I see
number
that.
Of young people can't even afford to buy a house.
It's far worse than what we even know. Yeah, right. Now, college kids, they have to get 3 and 4 roommates. They got to go live with their parents. It's a difficult time. Delayed employment, underemployment.
So a real concern for the future.
For the next generation. I've got 5 kids, and people ask me, why are you running? It's for the next generation, and we have to do this now economically, but also spiritually. We've got a divisive rhetoric that's decaying our country, and if we don't lead with inspiration right now to come out of this, what's our 250th birthday going to be like 3 years from now? I'm so glad it's not today. I'm running, so that birthday 3 years from now looks a lot different, and I believe this, that I'm called to do it. I'm sharing a voice to let New Hampshire be relevant, not just first. Let's let not the RNC or the big media determine who's at the debate. Let's let New Hampshire decide the field, and that's why I'm in this race.
Do you think sometimes even running for president and the nomination, it's almost a rigged process, both major parties?
You know, there's no question there's a big wave, and there's no question they've already selected their candidates. At this time, this is where we got to let the voice in the wilderness, the one that's speaking to the unseen, let's let these voices be heard. And that's what I'm talking to. I'm talking to young people. I'm talking to adults. I'm talking to people that recognize the party doesn't represent them anymore. And this is what I believe this. You know, our Constitution was about these three words, we the people. And so that's what I'm running for, we the people.
I appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. The website?
Binkley2024.com. We've got
Binkley
2024.com.
And what's your business real quickly?
Well, Generational Group. We do mergers and acquisitions, financial consulting. We do strategic consulting with software, also wealth management.
Ryan Binkley is from Texas, running for president here in New Hampshire. Thank you for respecting our primary, unlike the current president.
such an honor to, because we need to do well right here. We need to be right here. So this is where we're supposed to be.
What I want to ask you one last time, and I'm going to give you the few minutes, because you come at this from a business background, a family, a dad, a husband, pastor, and you don't have to be doing this. Obviously, you know, I always ask successful people, Doug Burgum, North Dakota, why are you running? You don't have to be. This cultural thing, we're right getting into the heart of it now, watching this reaction on college campuses to what's happening in the Middle East. I happened to be watching Band of Brothers the other night on World War II, just one of the later episodes when they came across their first concentration camp, Easy Company. They didn't even know what it was. It was so horrific. They had to call command saying, we're in Germany. We just came across something. And I've been to the Holocaust Museum, and I've always had a healthy respect and understanding for World War II. These kids today don't. Our founding fathers, amazing individuals, but even that's politicized, because they live in the times they live in. But I believe in things greater. I look at World War II, this rotund prime minister in Great Britain named Winston Churchill, at the right time, rallied, spoke to his nation as they were getting bombed every night by the Luftwaffe. So why can't we have a discussion about something's greater than what we think about ourselves is so important?
Well, we have to get back. You know, we think about education, next generation, teaching them history. A lot of people asked me, you know, a year ago what I thought of critical race theory. And I said, listen, I have no problem, and we should teach actual history, not theory. But why don't we teach actual history of our founding fathers as well? Why don't we get back to teaching what they prayed and what they believed in and some of the historical documents that are there and how they counted on God and prayed for wisdom, and actually George Washington praying for favor so we could win this, you know, impossible war to win. And I think if we did that, we'd start giving people the foothold and the foundation for what we're standing for today. And, you know, this is what we have to do. We have to win the next generation. And I think it's going to be one with wisdom, you know, with a heart for people. So our message,
how about humility?
Our message is about just this. Hey, let's get wisdom for the finances. We bloated health care. We have a plan to change that. But when we connect to urban America and the poor and the Republican Party, this is why I'll lead as president. Let's have a Republican alternative to socialism through charity, through community service, through volunteerism. Right. And Jack, when we do this, I think people start seeing, hey, listen, our party factions don't matter. What matters is we care about Americans. Let's bring truth. Let's bring wisdom. Let's bring moments of care for the most hurting. When we do that, I think we'll win the heart of people and we'll get our country back.
Well, the divisiveness, even within the Republican Party, I mean, people look at this and they look at Washington as broken. Hey, listen, I appreciate it. I'd love to get you back on, but thank you for swinging through New Hampshire in person, respecting the primary. Ryan Binkley, Dallas, Texas. I hear Dallas is growing.
Thank you. It is. We're going like crazy all the way to Oklahoma.
And by the way, the Cowboys, J-Dog, what's going on? They're winning.
Well, you know, when we play bad teams, we win. That's what
keeping,
we do.
Are they
That's
keeping Jerry do. Jones out of the side off the sidelines?
You know, I am praying for a new day. I'm always wanting that new coach.
No, the Cowboys are fun. They're great.
You know, it's
team.
Been great. Hey, all great right. to be with you. By the way, if anybody wants to check us out, Binkley2024.com. Appreciate it.